for LBW. Oh, he's got him.
That's well run, or is it? Oh, a fielder, that's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great hit. That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome to this very special simulcast episode of Short Fine Legs, the cricket podcast that understands the importance of a solid partnership out in the middle. And Lesser Known Somebodies, a podcast that has yet to invite me back on the show after my only appearance 4 years ago. But perhaps we'll best leave that fight for another time. My name is Daniel Gallen, staring at a grey London sky and recording at the same time from half a world away as Simi Arif. Sim, why haven't you had me back on the show?
I just don't think you know enough about sports, Daniel, and there are more interesting people than you. That's the main reason.
That's fair enough. I can only apologize.
You're welcome. I just want to say that Daniel, it's great to be doing this episode, especially with Pani.
Wait, hang on. Don't ruin the intro, because of course we're teaming up today, not because we're addressing this egregious plight on a podcast world, but because we have a very special guest that is just too big to be housed on one platform. A man who has represented South Africa 111 times at senior level after captaining his nation at the Under-19 World Cup. His 150 wickets for the Proteas means he is not only the most capped left-arm seam bowler in the country's history, but also its most prolific wicket taker of the sort. Across 15 years, he has played just about every type of cricket known to man. Test matches, four-day first-class games, 50-over, 20-over, 10-over clashes. He's played for teams in England, Canada, India, Pakistan, the Caribbean, and the UAE. He's a cricketer who bucks the trend, certainly in South Africa, with his softer, more artistic side, expressing himself through his photography and fashion. I'm, of course, talking about Wayne Parnell. Wayne, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm stuck in a bubble, but everything's good.
Is this why you've coloured your hair? Have you gone mad? Has bubble life turned your brain into mush and now you've expressed yourself with blonde hair?
No, this actually happened pre-T10 tournament. Just something different. What do you guys think?
I can tell you what happened. Daniel, I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was festive Please. Time back home. And it's a very common thing when it's festive time, if you're a person of colour, to dye that hair blonde. Straight up dyed blonde. And also he knew that he was coming for this T10 tour, so his wife allowed him to dye the hair blonde. So he's living a good life. Reckless. I think it looks sweet, Pani. I think it looks great, especially on television. It pops off. It pops. It really does pop.
As someone who went bald at the age of 20, I'm actually in no position to comment on anyone's hairstyle.
Yeah, but you've got a better beard than Wayne does.
That's true. Although it is getting unruly. My wife is starting to shout at me. Wayne, congratulations on taking a hat-trick recently. And I look forward to getting into it in more detail with you. But my first question is about your post-match interview. Just a reminder to the listeners. You bowled Shafane Rutherford. Then you bowled Dwayne Bravo. Then you had Adil Khan trapped LBW. But after the game, you said that you weren't even thinking about the hat-trick ball. My question to you is, do you really expect us to believe that as you were running in, the only thing you were thinking of was the hat-trick? I mean, are you seriously asking us to believe that?
Yeah, because obviously at that stage, it was still important for us to get a big victory, you know, for the net run rate. Because obviously, the table is very congested. Mm. So honestly, I was just thinking about, like, you know, I need to get dot balls here. I need to finish the over well. And then when I hit his pad, I kind of, that like reflex of like, oh, it's hit the pad. It looks kind of straight. You need to appeal. Mm. That's why the appeal was quite delayed. You know, so, and then I actually went up and then Umba gave it out. And then I realized, oh, that's the hat trick. So it was really, really cool. I mean, these hat trick things don't happen often, eh?
They don't. And that was my question, Bonnie. In your career, in your lifetime playing, how many hat tricks have you taken, if you can remember? And then would you say that this is probably the best one you've ever taken?
I have taken a couple. I can remember 4 in 4. I think I was under 14 at school. I got 4 wickets in four balls. At Grey High School, that's called a Dean trick. But in professional cricket, I can only remember this one. I'm not sure you guys are the stats gurus, so maybe you can dig up one if I've maybe taken one before.
To be honest, Pani, I'm going to say this as your friend. I didn't think you had it in you. I saw the first wickets. I said, okay, my boy's got it. As I saw the second wicket, I said, ah, it's nice. This is, it's respectable because, you know, in the previous game, some runs were leaked. And I thought, is there a possibility for a hat-trick here? And then I saw it, and you talk about that delayed response. It's true. You bowled the ball, it hit the pad. It went. The keeper put his arm up first, and then you looked around and said, oh, it's time to celebrate, and put the hands up in the air, and the umpire gave it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like for me, it's just about trying to play the situation of the game. Obviously, the first game, we were all rusty.
Mm.
The bowlers didn't come to the party at all. Mm. So it was just about trying to implement better plans. And in this format, you know you're going to get smashed, so you have to be very clear with your plans. And I think, you know, from the second game onwards, certainly we've been much better.
Mm. Do you think bold LBW is maybe the best way to take a hat-trick? Because obviously bold is probably the most exciting way. But I just like the idea that you get to turn around and look someone in the eye as he slowly raises his finger, confirming that you've just done this thing. For me, if I was a fast left-arm bowler, which I obviously am not, this would be my ideal hat-trick.
Yeah, I think obviously having an LBW for the hat-trick definitely does create more of a sort of theatre environment.
Yeah.
So definitely getting the third one with the LBW was obviously much, much more, was a sort of better ending. Mm. But also because Ali Khan is probably a like lower order batter, I felt like it was better to bowl length. Because generally, those guys seem to play Yorkers much, much better. So I just thought, let me just hit, you know, hard length. Maybe he nicks it. But luckily, he hit his pad. And we obviously ended up with a hat-trick.
Now, Pani, I want to ask the question. You have had a long, illustrious cricket career in South Africa. And you know that I'm one of your biggest fans. But I know that we're into our 30s now. And this means that there's a lot of international travel for these T20, T10 leagues. And I don't think you're done, actually. I don't think you're done. I think there's a lot of T20 games you can play, because to be able to change a game around by taking three wickets isn't an easy thing to do. And it's not a normal thing that happens. And we know that you can bowl the ball and that you swing the ball both ways. Will you be playing more cricket soon internationally? And there's a domestic challenge happening soon. Are you pulling through for a domestic team?
That remains to be seen. But you know, with regards to, obviously last year was, you know, very difficult with absolutely no cricket. Mm. So it's just, honestly, it's just nice to play competitive cricket again, to be on this, you know, world stage. You know, the guys at the Northern Warriors for obviously roping me in. And, you know, just trying to every match to just try and, you know, replay that faith shown. But yeah, it's just nice playing cricket again, you know, on this world stage again.
Mm, well, you know, Pani, to be honest, I think you should be thanking me. I was watching the T10 draft, and I saw we share one thing in common. The owner of the Northern Warriors is a man by Osman Ali Osman, and
yeah,
Osman's my manager in comedy. And I WhatsApped him. I was like, "Yo, bro, I don't see Pani's name on the list there." And the first thing he said was, "Who's Pani?" I said, "Stop doing this, please, man. Please, we know this." And I had to send him pictures of us together. And then he said, "Don't worry, I'll make a plan for you." And then the next thing, I saw you there, and I was already ordering T-shirts. I was already got Pani at the back. I need to get a dope number, you know. So I'm excited for you, and I'm happy. And I hope you get selected for a domestic team. I hope you know in your mind if there's someone already speaking to you, and I hope it's for a team that I support, because if not, I'm going to be bummed, bro.
Wayne, did you know that it wasn't actually your cricket abilities that has carried you this far? It was Simi just knowing the right people.
Yeah, it's me name dropping. I go to different places.
No, I think it was, you know, obviously after not having played for what, the better part of like 12 to 18 months,
mm.
it would have been difficult for any team to kind of put their hand up and say, hey, listen, we'll take this guy, you know. But I think in December I went to the US to play in a club competition there, just to play cricket. I think that was the main thing for me. I did well there. We ended up winning the competition as well. And then, you know, after that, obviously having played with a couple of the guys who are actually in this team, you know, hopefully they kind of vouch for me as well, along with Simi.
Wayne, I want to talk about, you mentioned how getting that hat-trick with an LBW added to the theatre and the drama of it. And I must say, if we were talking about T10 cricket 10 years ago, we would only be talking about the theatrics and the spectacle, because it really would have felt like a gimmick. And there's still a lot of people in the world who think this way. But clearly the quality of the cricket is great. I mean, watching your teammate and Skipper Puran play through the offside is... no one can argue the merits of that. And watching you bowl and the passion that you feel when you took that hat-trick, it's more than a gimmick, right? I mean, if you could maybe talk to the unconverted now about T10 cricket, is this the future? Is it still a gimmick? Or are we kind of transitioning from one to the other? What's your take on the whole spectacle?
I think it's, you know, something different. So I think firstly, a lot of people who aren't cricket fans, you know, when they ask about cricket, probably the most common thing that I've heard is, oh, it's boring, it's too long. Mm. So this format is quick, obviously, 10 overs. And also the nice thing is, if you want to have a day out, you can end up having, you know, or evening out, you can end up having three games. So the first game here starts around 4 p.m. The last game starts at 8 p.m. and by 10 o'clock, you're done. Mm. And generally, that would be kind of like, you know, one T20 game more or less. Mm. You know, so... it is obviously nice to have multiple games in the same day, because then you also see different players, you know. So hopefully this is something like, you know, with the rugby sevens where they've kind of gone around the world. This definitely has the potential to actually, you know, do that, where they can actually play in countries where cricket is not that big or not known. And because it's only 10 overs each, you might end up getting a bigger audience, and especially people from, you know, different countries where sports like football and, you know, other sports sort of dominate.
And what's the strategy differences?
Oh, sorry, Sim.
Sorry, Dan. What are the strategy differences as a cricket player? Because, I mean, like, you know, you start out in a different era where there's maybe T20, 50 overs and test matches, and you've got a different strategy for each format of the game. You come into a T10 type of atmosphere, and... I, as a layman, can't really think of any strategy other than to make sure I don't leak runs, and that can't be a strategy.
Yeah, so I played 2 years back the first time, and Owen Morgan was the captain there, and I kind of asked him, like, you know, what can I expect? And he said, whatever you think it's going to be, it's not going to be that. So just be prepared for carnage, but have clear plans. And I think that's kind of one thing that stuck with me, is just having clear plans. And I think certainly in the first game, my plans weren't that clear. So that's why I like didn't execute well. And I think from the second match onwards, it was just about being clear, speaking to Nicholas Puran, obviously captain, and with Robin Singh, the coach, just trying to have clear plans. And I think once all of our bowlers actually started just, you know, sort of zoning in and just having simple plans, we performed much better with the ball. And I think in any short format game, your bowlers generally tend to win you more games, whether it's by taking wickets or restricting. Obviously, we have great batsmen who've, you know, put on really good totals for us. And having said that, with those good totals, if you start well in the first two or three overs, once that run rate goes up to 15, 16, it's very difficult to maintain that over, you know, seven or eight overs. So that's kind of the strategy.
Apart from winning games and the title and just giving the best account of yourself, do you as a player and maybe the wider team, do you feel a sense of responsibility to the bigger picture, that it's important for you guys to put on a good show, to put your best foot forward, to put in big performances for the sake of T10 becoming a global brand? That if you want to go to the US or where it is, the China, you know, cricket outpost, that it's imperative that you guys put on a show, that you can't be sloppy in the field, that you got to take hat tricks, that you got to hit sixes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously trying to get cricket even into something like the Commonwealth Games or the Olympics, I think this format definitely has its potential. Even with 2020, yeah, it probably has the potential as well. But with regards to getting a lot of different nations playing T10, you know, there's probably a bigger potential to, you know, get this particular format of cricket into something like the Commonwealth Games or the Olympics. But then also, like you mentioned, trying to get it into countries, like I said, that don't generally play cricket. Because, you know, once you get to the longer formats of the cricket, people who have played it more often, you can kind of see the level of skill, you know what I mean? But with a shorter format, because it's only 60 balls, anyone can literally come out, smash, you know, three or four sixes, and that could be a really good cameo.
And do you feel that sense of responsibility when you're training? You know, when you've played at the IPL or you're playing with the Proteas, I imagine that there's a great sense of like, I can't switch off at all. You know, there's no gimmick about it. And some people might still say that the IPL is gimmicky, but I think that's a very, very small minority now. Do you feel that same intensity in and amongst the team? Does this feel, you know, I don't mean to be disparaging, but does it still feel like this is a hyper-intense environment?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as a professional, I want to showcase my skills on the biggest stage. And I think certainly I don't take anything lightly. You know, when I get hit or when I go for runs, I'm obviously disappointed. If I do well, then similarly try not to get too high. I think this game is so unpredictable that, you know, even when I feel I'm bowling well, I can still go for runs. And when I'm not bowling well, I can end up taking wickets. So for me, because I've now played, you know, many years of cricket, I kind of understand what's the sort of thinking. So even last night's game, even though we ended up winning, I wasn't happy with my performance because I'm always thinking about what if, you know, this particular guy was batting, would I have been able to execute, you know? So for me, it's always trying to get better the whole time. And certainly, especially when you're, you know, playing on a world stage, it's about trying to showcase your talents, basically, yeah.
Mm. And just finally, when we chatted, when was it now? 2 years ago, 2019. Goodness, that feels like just the other day. I loved how you were talking about how you buck, you know, I alluded to this in the intro, how you buck the trend, your photography and your fashion, etc. I'm looking at the team list here. Of the competition, and you got Scottish coaches, you got guys from Nepal, you got guys from Canada. I mean, the IPL is a melting pot, and global cricket is a melting pot. But it seems like T10 cricket, because of its welcoming nature, how it can invite people from all around the world. Do you find that this is the most cosmopolitan environment you've been in? And maybe you can talk about how you've been able to express yourself personally. Yes, obviously the COVID bubble probably hasn't made things too easy, but is this really where the joy of T10 cricket lies, that it's so accessible to so many people and people can't just be themselves?
Yeah, I think this is great because, you know, guys from the associate countries won't really get the opportunity to be playing in a, whether it's T20 or T10 competition with international stars. So it's, you know, there are a lot of talented guys who are playing for these kind of lesser known countries, you know, or so for them to be getting this opportunity on a, like I mentioned, a world stage to showcase their talents is really awesome. Not just for them personally, but also for the entire teams, you know, because then come next year and the year after, then coaches and selectors will start, you know, looking at those teams, looking at those squads, how they do throughout the year. So this really is an awesome opportunity for, you know, both guys who are playing in the UAE, firstly, and then obviously for everyone around the world as well. And even if they aren't playing, it's just mixing with these international stars. You know, that is invaluable. I honestly don't think you can place any amount of value because the coaches don't really have that much of an influence on the players because obviously they have to strategize. They have to make sure that the, you know, guys are in, you know, the potential 11 would be in the best possible shape to take the field. So it's up to us, you know, as senior players, as guys who've played international cricket, to also take the local guys under our wings and kind of part, you know, 5 cents, 10 cents worth of knowledge here and there. And for me, certainly going into every single league that I've played in, I kind of take that mindset in that, right, I know what I can produce, right? If I'm playing at a certain level, I know what I can bring. But, you know, when I'm done in 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years time, you know, a 19-year-old guy who's from the UAE or from Nepal or from these associate countries, I want to be able to watch them and be like, you know what, I played with this guy. This is where he was. And look at him now, you know. So I think certainly, obviously, doing well personally, that's one goal. But for me, impacting people positively is a definitely a, you know, close second.
And just finally, Wayne, I'm looking at your figures here. Apart from that hat-trick, you haven't taken any other wickets. Are you aware that you are allowed to take wickets that aren't part of a hat-trick?
Yeah, but again, you know, what's required of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where I actually bowl as well, and what's needed. So, you know, as long as the captain asks me to, you know, do something, and I can execute that, whether I take wickets or don't take wickets. And I think maybe that's the other thing as well. Like, people who don't really understand cricket that much, they might be like, oh, well, you haven't taken wickets. But yeah, at the end of the day, if I'm asked to bowl the last over and there's 10 runs to win, and I only go for 8, we end up winning the game. Mm-hmm. And for me, certainly cricket is about winning and losing. You know what I mean? So ultimately, if I can influence the game in a way that we end up winning, whether I take wickets or not, I'm happy. So there's, for me, certainly, even if I took the hat-trick and we end up losing the game, kind of wouldn't be worth much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Pani, but you must also release your special delivery, which is bowling right-handed. Don't let these people stop you from
bowling. I haven't seen that yet.
That's the thing, Pani. Use it as a surprise thing. If you know they got 12 runs and it's only one ball left, be the better man. You don't have to. Sometimes a gentleman's sport also needs some hype in it. Go to put the ball in the right hand.
Last night, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know what? There's 8 runs of the last ball, I think. And I was like, I've been bowling wide Yorkers. And I thought to myself, listen, I can't risk another wide Yorker, because if I bowl a wide, yeah, it's an extra ball. So I was like, I'm going to bowl at the stumps. If it's for 6, fair enough. We still end up winning the game.
You see, you must get me to coach you, Pani. I've got ideas for us, Maji. I've got ideas for us.
For us. I love that's for us. He's coming with you. He's hitching his wagon to yours.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel, I'm a super fan here. My man, I get to speak to this guy all the time about cricket things, and he still entertains me. What a wonderful life I live.
Well, I think we can hit that there. Listen, Wayne, thank you so much for your time. It's fantastic watching some South Africans compete on the international stage. Of course, the South African women are doing it, but we love seeing you do it. Final thoughts. Are there any Australians that you've had a word with about why they don't want to come play against South Africa?
I don't think there are any Australians. Yeah, currently. Oh, Ben Dunk, but he's not really involved in that too much.
Just have a word.
Just have a word with him, Pani.
I saw the article the other day. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be in bubbles anyway, so I'm not sure.
Knock on the door. Knock on his door and say, hey, my man, we need to
speak. He's staying at a different hotel, so I might actually see him later. I'll ask him to speak to the CEO.
Actually, Pani, yeah, before you go, I actually have one more question. And Dan, if you don't mind me asking this.
No, please. You're all awesome.
Life in a bubble. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. So maybe you can take us through the process. We know it's very secure. We know that there's lots of tests being done, but I'm sure it must get, I don't want to say boring, but probably boring, even though it's a pandemic.
Yeah, so we had a 5-day quarantine coming here, so that was pretty difficult. I think the only other bubble or like quarantine that I had was when I went to the PSL playoffs, and I think I was there for like three days. So that was a like challenge first up. But you just have to keep busy. You do your sort of gym in the room. Your food gets delivered outside your room. You get a knock on the door, and you just see your, you know, takeaway bag there. And then coming out of that, you know, just going to that first training session was so nice. Just to be outside, to obviously meet everyone as well. But then other than that, you know, the guys here at the Fairmont Hotel, they've really looked after us. Whatever we need, our management staff, they've been really good. The team management, they've been good. They've looked after us. Anything that we've needed, it's literally a message away. We get tested every other day, pretty much. So it's very secure.
And are you playing FIFA? Are you playing FIFA?
No, that was my rookie era there. I left my PS at home.
Dan, if there's one thing Pani is good at, is beating people, international stars at FIFA. That's
I literally haven't played much.
That's how he gets his...
I need to actually get it up.
That's how he gets back.
I did smash Sami though.
Yeah, you smashed me a proper 6-0. I still got the picture. 6-0. Hit me hard there. I had to make him a sandwich afterwards. I was smashed. But it's great having you on the show, Pani. Thanks so much, eh?
Cool. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Wayne.
Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done. What a great! That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now this will be interesting.
interesting. Short, fine legs.